today in our gospel that there seems to be one that will not be forgiven. And so certainly people get curious about that, as I was when I was younger too, because if we want to go to heaven, we want to make sure that we don't commit that sin. So the key is really to understand what Jesus is talking about here. And the sin against the Holy Spirit that can't be forgiven is really, most scripture scholars agree, that when we deliberately, like the Pharisees, blind ourselves to God's saving work. We can see it right in front of us, and we just deny that God is real or effective in some way, and that's what the Pharisees were doing. So it's the deliberate refusal, in a sense, to believe even up and to the hour of death, the refusal to believe in God and his loving mercy, even though we know the truth deep inside ourselves and the evidence is all around us, especially at the hour of death. We don't, for resisting to believe in God, we're certainly not going to this unpardonable sin, and so we don't have to worry about it. However, our gospel today really asks us to take a deeper look at unity and division in our world and in our lives. You know, when we find ourselves in agreement with carrying out God's will in our lives, we have what? We have harmony and we have unity with God and those who do likewise. And the sign of this is that love and that peace that will then exist in our hearts, even though we may be carrying crosses at this time. So those who do the will of God, Jesus says, are closer to him than even his blood relatives. When Jesus says, or when they say your mother and your brother and your sisters are outside, they're really referring to the Greek word that can be translated as cousins, and in the sense that that's what it would mean, his extended family. And so we know, too, that the early Christians, because of their faith in Jesus, were gravely persecuted. And so how did they survive to pass on that faith that we have received today? Well, they survived by being unified in Christ and in the Spirit, which gave them the ability to hang in there throughout those persecutions and to continue to love and to forgive even their enemies. You know, the same is true today when we think about unity and division, maybe those experiences with those two things that we've had in our lives. We know that unity always works for us, that disunity or division usually creates problems for us. We learn this very young. You know, I remember when, as many young people do, trying out for sports and playing on a team perhaps for the first time. It doesn't take long to figure out when all the players play as a team, support one another, help each other, then the team usually does pretty good. But if they're divided, it does not. And I had that experience too. You know, those years we were unified, we did well in our seasons. But when we had too much competitiveness among ourselves, oh, I'm better than you and better than you, I get more hits than you or more RBIs and all that stuff started to enter in, we started playing only for ourselves and we quickly fell apart. You know, I've seen it at work, as I'm sure you all have too, and starting out and working in the secular world before I was in the seminary, you know, if I quickly noted that if rewards and bonuses were at least somewhat fairly distributed, it created a unity in the workplace, and the company usually thrived. And because the employees were happy, then the customers were usually well-served and happy too. But if not, there was usually division, and the companies and the customers suffered then as a whole because the employees were unhappy. We see in our families, the old saying is always true, the family that prays together, that worships together and loves one another, stays together and thrives in unity. And in our churches, like here at Resurrection, the communities that are open and patient and non-judgmental and welcoming, like we are here at Resurrection, and I've seen many times, tend to grow through their unity and prayer. And we have grown very much this last year here at Resurrection. in an even bigger picture in our society and world, and we know that the more we work together and practice loving and forgiving and tolerance, the less conflict we'll have and the more peace and justice will prevail. For Satan does exist, and he loves to create division so that he can isolate individuals or communities or countries and continue to break them down, trying to get them only to focus on their own selfish wants and needs and drive them away from one another and from God. He does this not only through temptation to be selfish, but also through creating jealousies and misunderstandings and rash judgments, which usually, of course, result in conflict, whether in our relationships or families or parishes, schools, work, and society, and even between countries and cultures. But we know too that the Holy Spirit, on the other hand, creates through our prayer and through the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, that love and unity which makes us strong and results in peace and joy in Christ. Whoever does the will of God is brother, sister, and mother to me, Jesus tells us today, to encourage us to stay close to him in unity and prayer, so that we can maintain that unity in the body of Christ. Satan, he says, is that plunderer who can only succeed if he ties up the property owner, which is us. But if the property owner is strong in faith and love and unified in Christ, Satan will fail. So we can see today that it is clear from Jesus' teaching that there is an evil entity called Satan or the devil, fallen angel who seeks to divert us away from God and one another, to try and destroy God's attempts at creating a kingdom of love and peace while we are here on earth, to try and get us to reject God for all eternity. And so as Catholic Christians, we must resist him by doing the spiritual practices of prayer and love that create that unity in Christ. For those who stay connected in Christ, especially through the church and prayer, need never fear the evil one. For Christ has already won the victory over evil and sin and death. And so let us not forget that God desires our openness and willingness and faith to be truly loving and peaceful children of his, so that we can help bring that kingdom of God, that kingdom of joy and peace that our loved ones are experiencing in heaven right now, to this earth, somewhat to alleviate its darkness and pain and suffering as much as we possibly can. The good news is that God loves us and understands our weaknesses, and so he is always there to assist us. All we need to do is ask.